He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, here we go, folks. Thursday, last full show of the week. Glad to be with you. And, man, lots as usual to cover today. There's just no shortage of news out there. There's no shortage of drama out there, kind of keeping an eye on things as stuff continues to come in here throughout the show. But let's dive in because we've just got to get to it. Let's get to question of the day. And it's this. And it ties in with part of the title, and it ties in with what we'll talk about in B Block today. Do you think the elites will use COVID again in the fall, yes or no? Jaden, good to see you from Glasgow. Thanks for being here. Thanks to all of you guys who are coming
in.
Only one choice?
Yeah, only one choice.
Right. I mean, it should be...
yes, and are you kidding me?
Yes. Someday we'll put that out there. It'll just be yes or yes. But as you send your answers in, today's show is powered by Red Beach Nation. Red Beach Nation provides conservative beachwear for freedom-loving Americans. Whether you live at the beach or traveling to one, just want to imagine yourself there, Red Beach's comfy patriotic apparel is sure to lift your spirits. So head on over to redbeachnation.com. You can use promo code Drew to save 10%. And then as we keep talking about this week, and we'll continue to talk about through, I don't know, I guess two and a half more weeks or so, we've got a listener contest going on for May. And speaking of Red Beach Nation, you can win $150 at Red Beach Nation where you can get whatever shirts you want. Just throw them in the cart and they're yours. Shipping, all that stuff's included. All you got to do is pick them out. And all you have to do to enter is follow the prompts on your screen or the prompts that are over at drewberquist.com under the listener contest section of the website. Basically, though, just giving you the overview again, you can see it here. You go to This Is My Show on iTunes. We're targeting iTunes right now because while the stats and engagement there is good, the reviews are low. So that helps us push back and kind of fight within their algorithm. So head on over there, give a review, subscribe to the show, take a picture on your laptop or with your phone, then send it in to producer at Red Beach Media. You will be thrown into the pot. We will draw the winner on May 30th on the show, and said winner, like I said, will get $150 on Red Beach Nation. So good stuff. Appreciate those who have already done it. The rest of you guys, come on. Even if you don't listen to the podcast, even if you just, if you watch it on YouTube, you watch it on Rumble, you watch it on my site, wherever you do it, go do it because you got a chance. It's free. It's easy. You got a chance to win $150 in free merch. So, and you could be like, well, I don't like the Red Beach stuff. Well, someone else might. You could win it for somebody else, your kid, your husband, whoever, your cousin, your boss. So get on over there, take care of it, make sure you do it. Then make sure ahead of tomorrow, guys, I'll tell you again at the end of the show, but tomorrow's Booze and Banter, it's 4 p.m. Eastern, and it's only on Locals, and it's only for our members. We're ramping up activity there. We're ramping up content there. There's a ton more to come. A lot of you have gotten over there and signed up and joined. We'll look forward to seeing all of you tomorrow. We'll put out a message again reminding you that it's going to be on Locals. At 4 p.m. Eastern, we'll have a drink together. We'll finish up the week the way that we always do here on This Is My Show. Okay, so you've got all that. We've gotten some administrivia kind of out of the way. Let's dive right in. And remember, yesterday... Well, hold on. Before we dive into him, let's see what have the answers been.
So far, it's been a commanding yes.
Commanding
yes. LOL yes. Yes, they will try. Yes, it worked for them in 2020. Why not? It worked before.
Right. I mean, that's
yes,
the prevailing
I do.
Logic.
Never let a crisis go to waste. It's,
yeah.
Not Texas Panhandle. Not just yes, but hell yes.
Yep. I mean, that's how I feel, right? Again, it's kind of an obvious answer. Seeing how these guys have played it, seeing how these guys have done it, seeing how it worked for them well in 2020. You know, I spoke about this on someone else's show the other day, and they asked me a similar question. I'm like, well, why the hell wouldn't they? It worked before. They're getting to accomplish.
There's people who are still scared now.
Yeah.
They're still fearing for their lives now. So, I mean, it's.
You still see people driving alone in their car with masks in 2022.
Yep.
And that's really all you need to know. And then you combine that with the fact that they are in serious trouble, at least in terms of how things should go heading into midterms. And of course, again, we're going to talk about this more coming up, but of course they would want to do it again or try it or some variation therein of it. But let's get to some other stories.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
It's 50-50, like Russian roulette. Ha ha ha. Wait. We have a vax and it's mutating, getting stringers. No. We couldn't see that coming. That's from Face On.
I love it. Face Sean. Who probably does have a face on. I mean, both. You're right. You're not wrong. Well, we think we can or presume.
Faces Han.
Faces Han. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. So yesterday, inflation was good, according to Joe. Right? We showed you that clip. He said it was a strength. We'll show it again, just in case you missed the show or forgot. Take a listen.
And I agree with what Chairman Powell said last week, that the number one threat is the strength. And that strength that we built is inflation. So the Fed should.
No. It's just not. I love that we have to play it again. But we do because it was a strength. And again, of course, it's not really, at least not to everyday Americans and small businesses across the country. Maybe it's a strength to Joe and to the radical left who want to change everything. But then yesterday, so that we showed you that clip yesterday, but the clip was from, 2 days ago. Yesterday, Biden said this.
Only four big companies, by the way, control more than half the markets for beef, pork, and poultry. Without meaningful competition, our farmers and ranchers have to pay whatever the four big retailers say they'll pay for their chickens, their hogs, and their cattle. These big companies can use their position as middlemen to overcharge grocery stores and ultimately families. Just consider this. 50 years ago, ranchers got over 60 cents on every dollar spent to produce the beef they raise. Today, they get 39 cents. 50 years ago, hog farmers got 40 to 60 cents for each dollar the family spent raising that hog. Today, it's about 19 cents. And as the big companies made massive profits, the prices you see at the grocery stores have gone up, and the prices farmers receive has gone down. This reflects a market distorted by the lack of competition. So last year, one of the first executive orders I signed was that the competition, to make competition more available and level the playing field. And though through the American Rescue Plan, we're investing about $1 billion to help smaller meat processors expand their capacity, give farmers, ranchers, and consumers more options and at better prices. Look, I'm a capitalist. But capitalism without competition is not capitalism. It's exploitation. It's exploitation.
All right, so there's problems now. Earlier this week, no problems. It's a strength of ours, inflation, ruining everyone's lives, ruining our country. Now we got problems. And again, it's not his fault. According to Joe and what he just said there, we should praise him for trying something when he came into office that clearly has done the exact opposite of working, because here we are, less than a year and a half in. And like everything else he's touched, it's gone to absolute shit. And again, it would seem likely because it is the case that they're trying to do all this on purpose. There's no reason for it otherwise. There's no reason we're experiencing what we are experiencing if that was not the case. Because literally even a total fool with no understanding of how the government, the economy, the markets, just kind of like humans in general work, even someone who was in that category could get some of these issues right. He's getting none of them right. They get worse and worse and worse. And again, I believe it's 100% because they want it this way. Maybe there's parts of the administration, maybe there's parts of people on Joe's team, which is not Joe's team because he doesn't lead his team. But maybe there are some who are like, man, I just don't know how we figure this out. And they're just idiots. But a lot of them want this to happen, and they're doing it again, guys. They're back at it again this week because the White House announced that oil and gas lease sales in Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico have been canceled. Again, we've told you this. This is very much on purpose, what they're doing. America being energy independent again, excuse me, is right there for them to capitalize on. There's solutions right there. We had a lot of them in place under Trump, but they don't want to. They don't want to. They want to drive the prices way up, force us to either move to, an exclusive exclusively like electric industry or way of life, or at least make it so expensive and so bad that cost for electric vehicles and stuff like that is more on par with the cost of gas-powered vehicles and equipment. I have almost 100% certainty in my mind that all of this is on purpose. Again, because the solutions are right there. If there weren't solutions, and some of these things are complex, some of them are difficult, sure, but a lot of them aren't. And there are ready-made solutions that an average person can look at and be like, why don't you try that? It's like they're standing by a light switch and the lights are off and no one's trying to just flip on the light switch. It's right there. Just flip the switch.
And then if we, be in the administration, if we take off his jacket and roll up his sleeves, makes it look like he's been working real hard.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, get those optics out there.
Take a few steps back from the podium, give him a handheld, make it seem like he's really working hard.
Yeah. Which, I mean, honestly, the dude, they probably had to do that for him behind, back, backstage, because
yeah,
he would go so
hold
slow.
Hold still, Joe. Like, we gotta roll up your sleeves. He's like, stop touching me. No, stop working.
All right, you want a push-up contest, bud? anyways, so then he, we went through the absurd $40 billion that was approved in the House this week for Ukraine. We went through that yesterday. And I feel like I said all the things you're about to hear, and I'm not saying that to praise myself. I feel like a lot of people have said the things you're about to hear. But it's good to hear another person, Chip Roy laid it out yesterday. Matt Gaetz laid it out as well. It's kind of a long clip, but he lays it out and lays out just some common sense here, some reason in a pretty damn concise manner. Listen to him on the floor.
Madam Speaker, I rise to warn of a dangerous bipartisan consensus that is walking us into war with Russia. In the days following Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, Senator Rob Portman said, I haven't seen this kind of unity since 9/11. It's a nice statement, but what does it really mean? Unity always seems to come before the worst decisions we make. Our drive to unity often overruns our reason and discernment. The post 9/11 consensus gave us the Iraq War, the Patriot Act. The COVID lockdowns and mandates came from unity bundled by fear. Defund the police took off because dissent wasn't allowed. You were shouted down as a racist. Just as now, questioning our actions in Ukraine makes you a traitor. Do we have amnesia in this House? Is memory loss a consequence of the gerontocracy of Congress? Just a year ago, we lost a war against goat herders waving rifles. Now we're rushing to fight a nation that possesses 6,000 nuclear warheads? Representatives now recklessly assert that we are at war. Congressman Moulton said last week, quote, we're not just at war to support the Ukrainians, we're fundamentally at war, although somewhat through a proxy, with Russia. The clandestine services are supposed to be the quiet professionals. Seems now they can't stop bragging to news outlets about how America helped Ukraine assassinate Russian generals and sink Russia's flagship. How exactly is this supposed to end? It's as if the administration is probing Putin's nuclear red line. A game of chicken between nuclear powers is insane, and this from Joe Biden, who campaigned to be America's calming sedative. From Russia, I worry about nuclear weapons, not broken tanks. Last night, this House approved $40 billion for Ukraine as American families go without baby formula. To put that in context, Biden's budget calls for $15.3 billion for Customs and Border Patrol. So apparently Ukraine is more than twice as important as our homeland. 2 weeks ago, we voted on the Ukraine Lend-Lease Act. I was one of just 10 representatives to vote no. And here was the response from MSNBC. GOP's Putin wing balks at supplying weapons to Ukraine. So you're a supporter of Putin if you think it's a bad idea to give the White House blanket permission to send, quote, any weapon system, munition, aircraft, vessel, boat, or other implement of war to Ukraine while surrendering our rights to repayment. We are sending so many weapons to Ukraine that we're depleting our own stockpiles. And we aren't just sending bullets and rifles. Now we're sending howitzers. that can fire up to 15 miles. This means weapons we supply and train Ukrainians to use could potentially strike Russian territory. And these weapons aren't just ending up in the hands of the Ukrainian military either. One official said weapons, quote, drop into a big black hole. Many of these are ending up in the hands of the Azov Battalion. 40 House Democrats called them a neo-Nazi foreign terrorist organization just 3 years ago. Now that they're killing Russians, are these avowed ethno-nationalists? Apparently not so bad. Democrats go on a daily snipe hunt for white supremacy here in America, and yet they're fine giving rockets to actual white supremacists in Ukraine. Taking the position that we arm anyone to the teeth who will shoot at Russians has actually not always worked for America. It's javelins to neo-Nazis today, Stinger missiles to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan yesterday. In Syria, another conflict that Washington had consensus on, we supplied jihadist terrorists in their fight against Assad. Assad, like Putin, is an evil man, but does that mean the American taxpayer must arm his enemies without any further inquiry? I don't think so. And I would imagine most Americans don't think so. But that's why we never have real debate on these issues. The swamp would rather talk about saving democracy than our actual dangerous reality. And if we are at war, like Congressman Moulton says, then why not vote on an authorization to use military force? Or are we just going to operate in Ukraine like we have in Yemen and throughout the world? Forever undeclared wars. I suspect many in this body won't want a vote or a debate because regime change in Russia is their actual objective, not defending Ukraine. And to achieve this goal, they're willing to send billions to Kyiv that will line the pockets of corrupt officials just like we did in Afghanistan. We are sleepwalking into a war, and the American people are left in the dark.
All right, so first of all, I mean, hard to disagree with anything he said there, right? It just is. But he brought up a word there, gerontocracy. Who knows what gerontocracy means? I'll be honest, I had to look it up.
Yeah, but I'm not good with words.
It means a state, society, or group governed by old people. There you go. Da, 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 the more you know. So that's what that means. But as I always say, I mean, we could spend 20 minutes breaking down Matt Gaetz's 5 minutes there and all the points that he made. Almost everything he said was right. And as I've said pretty much already today, and I always say, whether it's Ukraine or domestic policy here at home, the solutions are simple. The discussion should be simple. Sure, there are next level complexities that come with a lot of these issues. I get that. But that's precisely why you nip it in the bud in simple terms before you get there. And if you cannot or are not willing to do that, as most politicians are not, then there's something else going on, which of course we know, something else that's motivating you to charge ahead. And these failed politicians are on both sides. They're everywhere. Remember, Elise Stefanik, who really kind of rose to fame during the latter part of Trump's term, well, she's claiming that she's ultra MAGA. The absurd new term that Biden and the left have come up with now and they're trying to push out there. But this was her making that claim yesterday.
Did you think called ultra MAGA? I am ultra MAGA.
I am ultra MAGA. So you say that, Elise.
I'm Iron Man.
I'm
Batman. I'm Batman. What are you doing?
But you say that, and you're yet still one of the 70%+ of the GOP Congress members that voted this week to send $40 billion with a B to Ukraine. And look, I get it. Not everyone's going to be perfect. Sorry, not everyone is going to be perfect. Not everyone can be perfect. And we're not going to have someone who agrees with us on every policy, every issue, everything. But there's so many of them on our side. You know, you got Mitch McConnell this week saying how Ukraine is single-handedly the most important issue we're all facing. No, it's not. No, it's not. It wouldn't be near the issue if you guys wouldn't continue to try and draw us into a massive world war where everyone dies. It would just be their issue over there. We've got tons of issues right here at home. They're endless, the amount of issues we have. And they're way more important. Because our country's being destroyed from within. It's ridiculous. And the amount of people who go and put on their show and political theater, say one thing, then do the other. I mean, the fact that 70% plus of our 211 GOP members in Congress voted for this is ludicrous. It is, that is not representing your constituents. And if that were the case, then shame on us. But I guess we do not have 70% of this country who wants to go and get involved in this war, who wants to spend $40 billion on someone else's war when we have the biggest problems we've ever faced here in America. It's exhausting talking about these people. All right, everyone hit that like button. Whichever platform you are on, please make sure you're subscribed on said platform. And then make sure, Missy just said it over on Facebook, recession is here, even if you don't accept it. It's true, guys. Things are looking a ton like 2008 again. It's going to get worse. I don't take joy in saying that. But we've got insane inflation, which Joe calls a strength, and then says it's not a strength. He goes back and forth on it. But we have it. It's here. It's reality. We're all living it. We have $30 trillion in debt, which, again, they're celebrating for some reason, saying that they're doing a good job with it. They're not. It's awful. And if you have, which a lot of you are in this audience, retirement funds, whether it's an IRA, 401k, just cash savings, whatever the case might be, and you've got $50,000 or more in it, as you could be at risk. But the good news is we have a free solution for you. Call GoldCo at 855-717-3188 or visit goldco.com/Drew. You can see it there on the screen. And if you do that, again, all you got to do is go there, sign up. You will get a free gold IRA kit. You could get $10,000 and more or more in free silver just by doing it. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and they've helped place nearly $1 billion in precious metals. Guys, a lot of you have done it. Take advantage of this opportunity. Go over there to goldco.com/Drew or call 855-717-388.
3188.
3188, sorry. 3188. When I do numbers, phone numbers like that, you know, we rarely have phone numbers. We have a phone number for my pillow that's associated with me. I never do it just because I feel like people tend to go to sites more. But I feel like when we do phone numbers, it has to be read in a different voice. That's shame on me. Shame on me.
855-717-3188.
We'll just have you read the numbers.
I am Ultra Mega.
So then Olaf Scholz, who's the Chancellor of Germany, spoke out this week. A lot of world leaders are speaking out on this. And this is why I'm talking about what I'm talking about in the title with COVID coming back. And it really is worse than that. It's really worse than even just the prospect of COVID coming back. But you had Olaf Scholz, who's the Chancellor of Germany, speak out. And how many of you, by the way, in the audience have heard of an organization called GAVI? G-A-V-I. Stands for Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization. I'd say raise your hands, but I can't see you. So but that's what it stands for. And according to their website, to the GAVI website, they're a public-private global health partnership with the goal of increasing access to immunization in poor countries. So you should hear that if you weren't familiar with them, or even if you are, and you should hear that. You should hear their goals of what I just read and how they're set up. And red flag number one is the use of the term public-private partnership. Because a public-private partnership is essentially fascism. Private businesses teaming up with the government to produce or manufacture whatever the government wants them to. Okay? Then you've got red flag number two. Access to immunization in poor countries. Their words, not mine. Or you could basically say or translate that into conducting human experiments on the most vulnerable people on the planet. Because that's how that reads. But I could be wrong in my assessment of Gavi. So let's hear what Chancellor Olaf Scholz says about Gavi. This is kind of a long clip, and he brings in a couple different things, but take a listen.
President Biden, Vice President Harris, co-hosts and colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. A well-known quote says that perception is reality, but the COVID-19 pandemic is proving this wrong. Our perception might be that COVID is over. Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine has overtaken the pandemic in the headlines. And after more than two long years, people are simply tired of hearing and reading about COVID. But the dire reality is the pandemic is not over. More than 6.2 million people around the world have died from COVID-19. That's about the entire population of Singapore or Denmark. And every day more people are dying. Current outbreaks and new variants of concern show the risk of prolonging the pandemic even further. For many countries, especially in the global south, this is a disaster, because the pandemic comes on top of other serious challenges such as food shortages, rising energy prices, and the effects of climate change. As a result, global debt and inflation are increasing rapidly. So, what is needed? The short answer is money. The ACT Accelerator must remain our top priority. As the holder of the G7 presidency, Germany wants to lead by example. For 2022, we are contributing another $1.5 billion, increasing our support since 2020 to $3.5 billion. In addition, we have already donated 145 million vaccine doses. Recently, we hosted the COVAX financing conference together with Gavi. This raised a total of $4.8 billion. But there is still significant funding gap, which we must close together. This is why we are here today. Secondly, we must recognize that reality has changed. In 2021, we were short of vaccines. In 2022, we have the vaccines, but we are lagging behind on vaccinations. We therefore need to strengthen absorption capacities, especially in countries with weak healthcare systems. As part of our last mile initiative, Germany will provide €850 million to our partner countries, especially in Africa and the Middle East. Thirdly, we need to look beyond the current crisis. In order to be better prepared in the future, we must strengthen the World Health Organization and its coordinating role. The good news is that the WHO Working Group on Sustainable Financing has just reached an agreement to put the WHO program budget on a more solid financial footing. This will enable the organization to carry out its important job more effectively. Fourthly, we need more local production of vaccines against COVID and in the longer term against other diseases such as malaria or Ebola. Germany is currently investing more than €500 million to expand local vaccine and medical manufacturing in Africa. Our pharmaceutical industry has stepped up its commitments as well. But we also rely on your continued support via Gavi, the Global Fund, and other multilateral instruments. Finally, we need ongoing support to build resilient healthcare systems. This is where President Biden's initiative comes in. We support your proposal, dear Joe, to set up a new fund for pandemic preparedness at the World Bank, operating in close coordination and cooperation with the WHO. And I'm happy to announce today that, subject to parliamentary approval, Germany will contribute an initial €50 million. We look forward to working with you on setting up the fund and turning it into a global success story. So thank you all for joining us today. Together, we can make this summit a success. By taking action, we can change reality.
Okay, so first of all, sorry, it's a long clip, but I just wanted you to hear it. First of all, having a German talk about global partnerships and medical procedures is really just kind of creepy. If you want to sell the world on a globalist agenda, keep the Germans on the bench. Let someone else who doesn't have such a sinister accent speak. But let's break down what Olaf said. And I'm not talking about Olaf the Frozen character. We're talking about the German chancellor, the dude you were just staring at, the dude you were just listening to.
Summer!
He says, that 6 million people have died worldwide. Very tragic when anyone dies, especially if they died from a man-made virus that escaped from a United States-funded lab in China. And 6 million sounds like a high number. But it's a drop in the bucket when you compare it to the Spanish flu of 1918, which killed between 17 and 50 million people worldwide, which is a huge range that they're working with there. But again, it's also, I mean, the reported population is about 7.9 billion. And I know I'm always sounding heartless when I say this. I say it about our population. I'll bring it up probably again later here today. But 6.2 million out of 7.9 billion, guys, is... It doesn't even show up on the map. It's not even a fraction of a percent. It's a fraction of 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 a percent. So that sounds awful. But again, we're talking about a statistically pointless number. Gates himself, we showed it this week. Gates himself said 2 days ago, the pandemic wasn't as bad as we first predicted. Well, no shit. But Gates and the rest of the medical authoritarians insisted on lockdowns. And once people complied, they realized the power they possessed. And they slowly turned the screws, made the outbreak political. We all lived through it. We all experienced it. We still are experiencing it. Some less than others. Some states are obviously handling it better. I love Otto Gray's comment. But Olaf goes on to say that the world is facing food shortages, rising energy prices, and global warming. Joe's policies, this Democrat party here at home, are responsible for food shortages and rising energy prices. And then they just always throw in global warming in there to placate horse-faced John Kerry, the mildly retarded teenager from Sweden, Greta. So what does Gavi need? Money, of course, brought up in his statement there. More of our hard-earned tax dollars are going to finance a globalist initiative that has zero benefit to America and most likely is going to cause devastating human loss and suffering in third-world countries. Because these people don't care about them whatsoever.
That's the ratio right there. The percentage from 7.9 billion to 6 million is 0.0759 percent. Not even close to 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. If you do it on your calculator at home, it'll show another zero before the seven. It'll be 0, 0. Yeah. I don't want to say it's nothing because some people lost loved ones in this, but you get the point. But we've got our money here. Okay. And third world citizens are going to suffer because of these sick and twisted people. And our money will strengthen the World Health Organization. Or as we like to refer to it here, China's bitch. China literally had the WHO change the name of COVID so it wouldn't reflect badly on China, and they did it. And then when Olaf says we have to look beyond the current crisis, that means governments realize they could control their populations by force, and they really want the opportunity to do it again. Why wouldn't they? You hardly can blame them. We need more production of local vaccines against COVID. What? I mean, why is Germany expanding their vaccine program to Africa? You're suggesting that the world is now going to trust a country that wanted to create a master race to give out free medical treatments to people that were labeled subhuman by that very same German government in the 1940s? Again, the optics are not good. Germany should sit this one out when it comes to any medical treatments, vaccinations, experiments on human. Don't do it. But then finally, he ended his comments by saying countries would establish a new fund for pandemic preparedness at the World Bank, operating in close coordination with the World Health Organization. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with giving hundreds of billions of dollars to the two most corrupt organizations on the planet? It's stories like this that don't help stem the tide of globalist conspiracies. Olaf saying it himself, his own words. Of course, the media propagandists are going to say this is all fine. This initiative has nothing to do with the world government. It's about saving lives. I guess you just want poor people of color to die around the world, you bigot. That's what they'd say to us. But that's how this whole circle of fraud keeps going. That's how the elite keep this going. and progressing with their plan where they win and we lose. We always lose with their plans. But Joe Biden also weighed in about COVID with another uplifting message this week. Here it was.
This pandemic isn't over. Today, we mark a tragic milestone here in the United States. 1 million COVID deaths. 1 million empty chairs around the family dinner table.
Well, first of all, you're late to the party. We reported that, and that it wasn't today, but or this week. But it's not over because you and the Democrat commies want it to continue. That's why it's not over. They love, as we always say, having people locked in their homes, losing their jobs, begging their government to save them. And with the midterm elections coming up, Democrats need the ability to cheat with mail-in ballots and drop boxes. And I've told you a gazillion times, particularly leading up to the 2020 election, that there is a distinction between mail-in ballots, universal mail-in ballots, and absentee ballots. Mail-in ballots are unsolicited ballots sent to residences that have corresponding names attached to said address. If you moved apartments and didn't change your address with the supervisor of the elections, a ballot will show up at your old address. We've got a staff member who lives in Los Angeles, received 6 ballots for the 2020 election. He and his wife are the only two that live at their current address. And then, of course, as you should know, an absentee ballot's when you personally contact your elections office and request a ballot because you're going to be out of town. You're not able to go to the polls that particular day. But getting back to Biden, he talks about the 1 million death milestone. But he leaves out the fact that it was Democrat states that had the most deaths. And again, less than a third of 1% of the population fell into that 1 million number. So it's again, a pinprick on the grand scheme of things. And that it's a pinprick if the numbers were really all COVID deaths, which they were not. We know that they've been fabricated and puffed up. It's been documented. But Joe, it's your party's policies. I'm not going to say it's you because, again, you're not really driving anything, but it's your party's policies that kill people. COVID's just the latest example of Democrat Party failure. That's their legacy. Destroy everything in your path. Blame the little guy. They're the jerk in the restaurant who berates the busboy for not wearing a mask. And he also conveniently left out that more people have died from COVID since he's been in office. 350,000 people died during the pandemic while Trump was at the White House. More than 500,000, well over 500,000 now, have died since Biden took office, at which point the vaccines were in place for everyone. 77% of American population has gotten at least one dose of the vaccine under Biden, and the vaccines are still, are still getting COVID. But the 23% who aren't vaccinated are being blamed for the vaccinated catching the virus. Or it could just be the treatments like monoclonal antibodies, HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, all those different treatments work really well. The fact that we for so long. And technically, we'll probably get yelled at by YouTube for this today, too, just bringing it up. You weren't allowed to bring these things up. You certainly couldn't say they were effective treatments. The only time you could bring up those words, which were essentially cuss words to the left, were if you were slamming them, calling them horse paste, calling them, conspiracy theorist, pills and all that kind of stuff. But of course they're effective. But you can't mandate treatments the way you can when you force people to get injections with those. And let's not forget, the CDC knew the vaccines were shit because they changed the definition of what a vaccine is on their website. This whole thing has been utter nonsense. And the pandemic's never going to be over because the government realized, again, they can control half the population, the maskers, and use that half to incite violence on the other half, the barefaces, the purebloods, whatever you want to call them, to force them into compliance and further divide the country. And dividing the country is a huge key pillar of their plan. They've worked their asses off, the Democrat Party, to shun God, this country, and instead worship the government. And now they're leading us down a dark path where churches are being vandalized. States are going to allow newborns to be murdered upon the mother's request. And I know I'm kind of off on a tangent here, but it all relates back to government control. control specifically over our lives and what we put into our bodies. And I know the country's outlook seems bleak, and the Democrats have what seems to be a majority on their side. But remember, remember, folks, it was only 2% of the American population that fought off the British. So it's not impossible to get this thing back on track. All right, real quick, friends. I know that you guys love firearms. I know you love the Second Amendment. I know that you are prepping for the sadness that is upon us now and the violence that could come in this country. And a great way to do that beyond going to the range is to head on over to strikeman.io. We all want to be confident. We all want to be accurate with our firearms. But to do that, we need regular training. Soaring prices, busy lives, all those things make it tough to get there. But Strikeman has developed this training tool that is awesome, solves the problem. You can use their advanced app, their custom laser cartridge, and you can practice safely at your home without the cost and the inconvenience of traditional training. You can go over again to strikeman.io. You can try it risk-free for 15 days. If it doesn't improve your accuracy, they will refund you in full for during this month of May. You can get it for just $79 if you use promo code TRAININGDAY. Again, it's over at strikeman.io. Strikeman.io. Okay, a couple of people have brought this up. A lot of people brought it up this week, but I've seen some people bring it up today. I wish I had an AK or an AR. 223 says Shartney. Go get one. Get one. I wish you did too. I wish you had multiple. As most of you know, though, Dinesh D'Souza, who's been on the show before, is a great guy. Has a new movie out called 2,000 Mules. And it's about voting irregularities in swing states during the 2020 election, something that, again, like COVID, was forbidden to talk about by big tech and the big tech overlords. Here's a clip from the film.
So we're going to show you a visual, a pattern of life that someone can see and look at rather than just a whole spreadsheet of numbers, being able to look at it in this manner. What you see here on the screen is a single person on a single day. In Atlanta, Georgia, they went to 28 drop boxes in 5 organizations in one day.
What are the orange dots?
Those are drop boxes.
And what is the blue tracks?
That is a smoothed out pattern of life so that we could take the sort of the movement of the individual cell phone signals, marry them together into something that's visual so that you can see movement on the individual. To get to some of these drop boxes, you had to be intentional. You had to get off the highway. You had to go on surface streets. You had to turn in somewhere in order to get to those drop boxes.
And the circles, I take it, reflect the nonprofit centers. Are that the places where the ballots originate?
The stash houses, where the ballots are collected and handed to the mules to take to the drop box.
All right, so interesting, right? I mean, again, you can go watch that. That's just a small snippet, but you can go watch it on Locals or on Salem Now if you want to see it, if you have not seen it. But it's interesting that they use pattern of life, something that we track a lot in the intelligence community and counterterrorism world. Well, and really not just the counterterrorism world. It could be any aspect of espionage, you know, monitoring other people, their actions, their activities. So you have some level of predictability of what they do on a daily basis, where they go, the timing of it, what their goal, all of that stuff. You understand at this, you know, this is where he's going to come from or she's going to come from. This is where they're going. This is what they're doing. All that to say. It's interesting. So let's unpack it, though, in case you haven't seen it, because the people referred to as mules are going to stash houses, as they referenced there, and they're picking up ballots 4 or 5 at a time. And then they're, according to this film, then they're driving said ballots to drop boxes, and they're depositing them. Again, the 4 or 5 that they bring with them, whatever the number is. And they're repeating this process multiple times a day at different drop boxes located all over the city. And this same process was replicated in different swing states and cities during the 2020 election. The election fraud's, you know, perpetrated in a way where it doesn't really arouse suspicion. You've got 4 or 5 ballots per drop box. It doesn't look like, you know, that's super suspicious because you can always play it off as these ballots are for me and my family. You know, you're not shoving 100 in there that don't even fit through. It's a reasonable number. It's maybe odd. It could look odd, but it's not really necessarily a red flag for a bystander who's watching there. So you can have some questions about how they came up with their conclusion when it comes to geotagging and geofencing. Like if your phone's being tracked, is there a difference between you and you know, when you pass a drop box in your car and you standing by a drop box, putting it in? It gets difficult. There's ways that you can differentiate that depending on the service and the people that you're using to track all that stuff. But I never saw the same person at a different Dropbox in that particular clip or the clips that I have seen. So there's questions that come up about it, for sure. And it's not to say that it didn't happen. I'm not questioning it. But there are questions that pop up of it. But opposed the film itself and what Dinesh and the people who worked with doing this did is they pose a lot of interesting questions and give some possibilities and some clarity into said possibilities about how Democrats and the deep state actors manipulated the election. And again, this is one way. There's a lot of other things. Because it's not, just as a sidebar, it's not a conspiracy theory to say the election was manipulated or rigged. Because we talked about this particular article by Newsweek back in 2021, where they bragged about it. They bragged about their collusion between media, big tech, big business, all that, DNC, to keep everyone on message. Anything that questioned anything was to be tamped down. People were to be put on a list called conspiracy theorists, all that stuff. But if you add in the use of the mules who are bringing these ballots and the mail-in ballots and the drop boxes and all the irregularities in the algorithms of the Dominion system and all these different layers, you've got the perfect storm for voter fraud. And I look, again, there's polls out there that show even the Democrat side, over 30% of them are like, yeah, there was definitely fraud in this election. Now, they don't complain about it because they got Orange Man out because that's all they cared about. Orange Man bad, we got to get him out. But everyone knows that this was not a fair election. We don't know to the extent in each particular state and each particular swing state, which of course were the ones that were the most important and as their name suggests, swung this election. But there was definitely fraud. And I say it every day, and I'm going to say it again, Democrats are so much more advanced when it comes to cheating, when it comes to manipulating the system than we are on the Republican side. It's just a fact. They're really good cheaters. And you got old head rhinos like Cocaine Mitch, Lindsey the effeminate warmonger Graham, and Pierre Delecto on our side, who are perfectly content being happy losers, who just go along with the alt-left Democrats. And the Democrats, while they are not, you know, their voting base is not sharp, their strategists always learn from their past mistakes. When they were disappointed by the outcome of the Civil War, they assassinated Lincoln. Then they realized, okay, maybe that's too much. So they've toned it down a little bit, but they still maintain the same mentality of getting whatever they want, when they want it, and by any means necessary. Violence and intimidation are the go-to methods in the commie toolbox. And we see it and we live it every damn day in this new country. They own the corruption space, mainly because they get away with it. When they get caught, it's just an apology, if there even is one. But there's never any indictments. There's never any prison time. There's never any kind of consequences for anything they do. Except for maybe every once in a while at the local level. That's our world. That's our world that we live in. Yay. All right, we'll take a couple by any means necessary, indeed. Take a couple questions as we wrap up this first hour here. Uthrak said earlier, can go two ways, talking about the question and kind of talking about where we are as it pertains to COVID, the election, the elite, and what they're planning or not planning. Uthrak said, can go two ways for electioneering. One, claim they saved the world from COVID, or two, COVID's still around, which gives them the reason and justification for mail-in ballots. Absolutely. They will do one of the two things. And they'll probably do a combination of both where it's still here, but we've really tamped it down. You're welcome. Listen to the government. And right now the government's telling you that you need to stay inside. Don't talk to your friends or family because there's a new variant or new variants that are out. Put your mask on and let's do mail-in ballots for this election. Maybe just one last time until we need it again in 2024. And then we'll say maybe just one last time here, but that's how they work. That's how they operate. So I think you're right. Uthrax, and I don't know if I'm saying your name right there, but appreciate the comment.
Well, Demos, it gets me. Oh, sorry, I just wanted to jump on this word with the voter fraud. You know, when they're like, "Hey, we want to put up regulations and all that stuff," and then the Democrat politicians get up like, "Why do we need to have that?" Well, obviously, because you cheated. Well, no. Like, you know, they're defending not having people see, you know, like double check these things because they know that they cheated. You know what I mean? Like, if they had nothing to hide, they would be like, fine, yeah, go do your checks.
Again, this could have been so easy. My biggest problem with this thing the whole time has been, look, guys, these are fair and reasonable questions. There are innumerable instances that raise a lot of flags and jump onto people's radar as something concerning. Are every one of them actually cause for concern? Well, they're all cause for concern, but are every one of them legit? Maybe not. Yeah. But literally the whole time has been, you cannot question it. You cannot ask questions when both sides should want fair and equitable elections. Both sides should want that. Again, I know that the other side doesn't play that way. They don't actually want that. But that's the world we should live in. And to your point, look, if there's nothing to hide, then just drop it all out here. But you can't talk about Dominion. You can't talk about universal mail-in ballots, which have always been used. And the Dems, years ago, prior to how they used it in 2020, said themselves that it was ripe for fraud. It's a way that fraud can flourish. So if there's nothing wrong, then let us know. And maybe there was fraud, but there wasn't enough to swing certain states. I don't believe that, but maybe that's the case. Like, show it, open it up, because what's happened in response to all these fake fabricated hoaxes that, again, have been proven to be fabricated and not real by the Democrats and what are now weaponized intelligence and law enforcement agencies with that and with the election and with COVID, is no one trusts you guys anymore. Your goal is big government. But half the country loathes you. They hate you. They put no faith in the government whatsoever. And there's some good people who are still working at the government. But government leadership, government entities and organizations, there's no trust left in you. It's gone. Bye-bye. Demo said, going back to the electric stuff earlier, and his comments on, some of the comments in the show earlier, but Demo said, I'm a mechanic on a rock crusher. That industry will never go electric. Only 60 ton dump trucks can't run on electric. Also, every road is made with oil, and it's deliveries by fossil and laid down by fossils. Yeah, absolutely. There's no logic to anything they're pushing at all. It makes zero sense. We want to go full electric. You there's so much. Plastics, you name it. There's so much that oil and gas play into. And we're talking about this if you came in late, because the White House and the Biden administration announced that they're canceling sales and leases on Alaska and Gulf of Mexico oil. Like, they're doing all of this on purpose, because, and that's not conspiracy, guys. There's no reason you would do it unless you have a purpose and a goal, and these things will serve your purpose and your goal, which is the case. All right. If one side's caught cheating, they should be disqualified. I agree, Alan. There was no Russian fraud. That was a hoax, says Debbie. Yeah. And listen, you know, there's also been, I talk about this too a lot, but just from someone who worked in this community, in this world for a long time, there's all this outrage. Oh my gosh, there's other countries interfering in elections. You're damn straight they are. And they will in the midterms, and they will next year, and we will in theirs. That's just how big state actors and global powers work. We interfere in stuff because we want the outcome to be something that benefits us. If you're not playing the game that way, you're not actually playing. So that's just how it's going to go. Barb says they're so against Americans. They are. They hate you. They hate you. They hate me. They hate this country. They just say they do, and they'll wear a lapel pin on their jacket, but they don't do a damn thing for it. They never have. Okay. Let's get to hour two here in a second. Coming up, we've got the Dems lost on a big abortion vote, which was great. We'll talk about that. There's this interesting story. I know we don't normally talk about fantasy lands and stuff like that, but we're going to talk about Atlantis because there was an interesting discovery. And then we're also going to talk about the 10, according to Roll Call, who I don't put stock into, but the 10 most vulnerable senators as we approach midterms. which again, the Dems are going to want to cheat in. They're prepping for it again right now. So we'll get into all that. We'll get into some of your questions, some other stuff that's all coming up. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Cloud Hub, if you're on any of those other platforms, you got to get over to Rumble, folks. It's rumble.com/Drew Berquist. You can go to Rumble. You can search Drew Berquist, but that is where, and podcast listeners, this is the end of the road for you two. The second hour is exclusive to Rumble, and we will see you there after a short break.
Hey, we like you, but if you're on legacy social media, your live feed pretty much ends now. Continue watching today's live episode and engaging on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Drew Berquist. Again, that's rumble.com/Drew Berquist.